Count it down. We got more turkeys for that, but we're looking for 600 turkeys as we do the Monica J Show live on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, live and local talk for all of Northern Nevada. We are here at Nissan of Carson City. Yeah. Hey, you know, that's a little too fresh for me. So make sure you bring the frozen birds, or you can bring some cash down too. And I have a gentleman donating here. What is your name?
Ivan.
I like your hat, Ivan. That is a very styling hat. Did you bring us some turkeys today?
Yeah.
You did? How many?
Two.
One for each hand? And you carried them like a champ, didn't you?
No.
No? Hey, do you want to say hi to somebody?
Yeah.
Who do you want to say hi to?
Chris.
Chris?
Yeah.
Who's Chris?
That's my dad.
Your dad? Okay, so say hi to your dad.
Hi, Dad.
Thank you, Ivan. I appreciate the turkeys, and I hope you have a great Thanksgiving and a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year. Okay. We are here until 6 o'clock tonight with wonderful people in the community like Ivan and his mom and John and everybody else, Brad and Monica that stopped by. Please, if you decide to come down today, make sure that you drop your stuff off out in front, but then you come in to Nissan of Carson City, into the room, into the building here, and I've got all kinds of stuff that I'm giving away. So let's go to the phone lines, have a very special interview today as we continue the live edition of the Monica J Show. And joining us right now from the Reno City Council is Ward 1 Councilwoman Jenny Breckus. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Monica. How are you?
I am doing great. This is the wonderful thing about being live out in the community, is you actually get to talk to the people who really make the difference on how we live here. And boy, I have to tell you, Jenny, you've been a great representative of the community for Ward 1. And you're going up against some big obstacles right now, including the fact that the mayor has endorsed somebody else for your seat and you're the incumbent. Why do you think this is?
Well, that question's probably best pointed to her, but she's not beholden to me, and I'm not beholden to her. We probably vote alike 95% of the time, but on those 5% of the time where we don't agree, I see a different path forward for the community, and perhaps those have mounted up to being a concern to her that she wants someone who's going to be with her 100% of the time. And I think maybe also she takes things personal. She's the first among equals, and I think when you're first among equals, you want, your flank covered. And I'm an independent voice beholden to the voters in Ward 1.
You really are, and I've noticed that. What do you want to see for the future of Reno, and especially your ward? The growth, the infrastructure, this is always a big argument. What do you see best for the city?
Those are great questions. The growth is big. The growth is very big, and we can do it right. It's not like it's not going to happen. It's coming. We're on the map. We just need to do it right, and it's complicated. It's not yes to everything. It's not no to everything. It's just getting there and making sure we can accommodate the growth without putting the fiscal on our existing residents and eroding the quality of life that they enjoy, particularly the folks up in the North Valleys. It's a growth area, and their quality of life has eroded by the flooding caused by the development and our wastewater treatment plant. So that's an example. Ward 1 is pretty built out. We've got maturing old neighborhoods. We need to make sure that the infrastructure investment that the city, the RTC, and Tumwa do is maintaining the infrastructure, not letting it deteriorating it, and balancing that with the infrastructure and the services, the police and fire services that are needed to these outlying growth areas. Those are important. And then beyond all is just the fiscal sustainability of the organization.
Well, and that's what I think is a good look for Ward 1, especially for the fact that it is an older build-out community, but that means it's also on the older sewer system. And I keep hearing from people that it's at max capacity.
Well, yes. We need to start thinking about expanding Tamworth, which is the region's most largest system down in the East Valley, east side of the valley here that we share with Sparks. But the problem up in the North Valleys, which is primarily being driven to accommodate growth, is taking up so much focus and so much time. We don't even have the science to manage the effluent up there. We're pioneering it. We've got a bunch of university scientists up there trying to figure it out. And that thing is charging ahead, and I'm very afraid that the Tamworth expansion is a forgotten thing. And not only that, there is no way under any calculation anyone has provided to show that the SCED expansion up there is ever going to be financially feasible and not borne by the ratepayers here in Southwest, Central, and Northwest Reno. And so we're going to be double paying in these older parts of town for the SCED expansion and for our own update of our own plant. And I've been on since 2012, and sewer rates have gone up 34% since then for a household. And a lot of that was because for many years there was an investment in the plant. So we caught up, but we've got big numbers ahead, and I'm afraid that we're not going to be fairly and equitably sharing the cost of those.
I was just going to say, because are we not looking to the developers enough to pay for this stuff before the developments are actually done?
Well, up in the North Valley, there's been a big miss to not stand up differential connection fees like the Tumwa model. Tumwa has connection fees are dependent upon where you are and the infrastructure in place. The city of Reno has yet to stand up a differential connection fee. It's just the same if you're in the Tumwa area or the SCED area. So those all need to get refined. Plus, we need to calculate up there for all the runoff of all the large buildings and the parking areas, yeah, for all those logistics centers. And that was a finding when the court found us, the city, a jury found us responsible for the flooding up there, and we're still in litigation with that group up there. So,
One more quick question before we join Paul White, would like to join the conversation about the homeless situation. But what is going on with the city manager and trying to make it that you cannot attend the pre-agenda meetings?
Yeah, she's pulled back on that just this week and offered up a new solution for all the council members that we just meet with her and the assistant city manager. So I'm waiting for those conversations. It was a mistake on her behalf. All my comments, all my questions, all my concerns rise to her, and then she filters those down to those who write the staff reports, bring the presentations before us. And sometimes the analysis that's provided to council is not fully formed, and she is having a hard time getting that information to the council to fully understand the consequences of the issues, and I've let her know that, and so her response was to just not give me the access to ask those questions, and that's wrong, but I've been doing them in the city council meetings anyway.
Yeah. Let's move on to the homeless issue, and I noticed that once QOL got involved, more has been done. Every time we point out a park, the Pickett Park incident, the Broadhead Park was just cleaned up after we posted a video of it. Is the city reacting to what people are saying now and getting involved?
Well, No. The city is doing what we can. It is an incredibly difficult situation. Now, if we had made some better decisions back in 2014, 2015, would we have been better equipped to deal with this crisis? And it is a crisis. L.A. residents find it the number one issue in their city, and I think you probably find it in the top one or two here in Reno even. So it's a national crisis. I think that we need other agencies to step forward on it, but it's very difficult. There was just a fire two nights ago in Oxbow Park. And so it does seem like it's triage right now, but we need some structural fundamental approaches, and they're going to take resources. And the city, let's not forget, the city in 2012 when I came on had laid off a third of its workforce.
But we've improved since then financially. But do you think it was a mistake for the city to, well, take over and then hand the control of the shelter to VOA?
Well, here's the deal. I have voted, I think maybe three, but definitely two times against the contract with VOA, but not because it's VOA, because the county is the agency that funds it the most with funds that they get through the state. They're called indigent funds. They have an army of social workers. They have a social service division. They're the ones who should be operating this entire function. And I'll tell you, I think it's irresponsible to be a county commissioner, have all your money in there, and not be the lead operator. They need to get their heads in that game.
Yeah. All right. Do you mind? We've got Paul White from QOL who wants to ask a question. Paul, what do you have for Jenny?
Good morning, Jenny.
Hi, Paul.
Jenny, I just had two quick things. One, regarding that it's, you know, the county's obligation. This is what's so frustrating. I had a conversation with Von Hartung, one of the commissioners, less than a week ago. And he said he would love to do something about the homeless issue, but it's the city of Reno's problem. And so I'd be interested to hear, I mean, who's going to own this? But the big one, Jenny, is, you know, with this Boise Martin case from the Ninth Circuit that affected so many cities as far as made them afraid to enforce the law against the homeless. And a few weeks ago, when your own city attorney wanted to make a presentation to the council, just a presentation about joining all these other cities, countless cities, to challenge this Boise Martin thing. It was just for information for the council, and it seemed like a no-brainer. And as it was reported in the paper, the mayor just reached out and unilaterally canceled it and said, no, we don't even want to hear about it, and we have no plans or interest in the future. So my question would be, did you go along with that? And if not, how was the mayor able to pull back that presentation by herself?
Monica, there's a little bit of feedback, and he's very muffled. I heard something about the city attorney and the would I go along with that and the mayor? Could you summarize the question?
The lawsuit that was with Boise, how the mayor just kind of unilaterally took that off the agenda and moved on to other things. And were you supportive of that? I mean, it seemed like the mayor just kind of did it herself.
Yeah, I do. I mean, it goes back to the fact that the city is a city that was down a third of our workforce, and we have not refunded those numbers. Fewer police officers, fewer firefighters are out on the street at the city of Reno right now than they were in 2009, and we're growing. And I just don't think that we should be spending our resources getting in someone else's fight. A lot of other cities with much better resources were going to come in. we're being sued by the woman who was the longest falsely incarcerated woman in U.S. history. That's what we have to defend, that lawsuit that could come with a big price tag. I don't really see the city attorney, you know, venturing off to the Supreme Court to sit in some, you know, back bench to hear some case. So it's really more of a procedural concern that we don't need to carry that water when we've got a really heavy pail among ourselves. What happens out of that happens, and we'll see and have to live with it, obviously. I do think that Boise case allows us to do enforcement on time, the place, and the manner. And for me, when I hear from a Ward 1 resident that they feel unsafe or there's a threat, a fire or something in their proximity, that's when I do send the resources over there and through the police chief and the city manager. So I do respond and feel that Ward 1 residents should not have to experience that lack of safety perception. But it is triage. It is triage because a lot more resources need to come to bear on this crisis.
Well, here's the last question, Jenny. Paul, thank you so much for calling in. Are we spending too much of our resources on things that aren't 100% necessarily right now, like art and flower baskets. I mean, I know that isn't a big but when you've got discretionary funds that can go for anything, shouldn't we be buckling down and tightening our belt?
I think the city of Reno is pretty tight. Arts matter. The parks budget is 60% of what it was in 2009. Now, when you talk regionally, when you talk about how the county's spending their money for indigent funds, when you talk about how the RSCBA has billboards up in, you know, Seattle with lodgers tax inviting people to come down, or offices and visiting Shanghai to get, you know, skiers over here for the holiday, for example, maybe there should be some reallocation, restructuring of some of the regional funds, but everything has to be on the table, and the folks in Carson City have to be at the table also in what their focus is. Those who represent us up in the north here, they need to let us know how they're going to help us, because cities are at the bottom of the food chain, even below counties, in terms of dealing with a crisis like this.
Yeah. All right, Jenny Breckus, Reno City Councilwoman, Ward 1, thank you so much for all of the time that you took with us today, and I appreciate you being on the show.
Oh, thank you, and good luck with the turkey drive down there. Sounds fun.
Thank you. Yes, it is a lot of fun. We are at Nissan of Carson City, and we are here for the High Five Turkey Drive along with Fish, Friends and Surf is helping, and we'll be right back on 99.1 FM Talk. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk and, of course, 92.3 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley for KSVL. We're just taking over Northern Nevada. I don't know what it is. Jerry just wants to own everything up here so we can keep all the conversation going. And let's keep the conversation going as I'm doing my show live today from Nissan of Carson. We are here for the High Five Turkey Drive benefiting Fish. Just look for the Fish truck and the 99.1 10. Out front here of Nissan and pull in between them. If you pass the truck, guess what? You got to turn all the way around and come back in. So between the tent and the truck, come on in. Love to see you here today. Businesses, people, it's what it's all about. And especially going into the holidays, a new car would be great. I would like to see a nice new shiny, you know, Nissan with a bow in my driveway. Vin is with me right now, and Vin, you're the man here.
I don't care so much to be called the man. However, I'm the gatekeeper of the dream for the most part here.
And I like that, gatekeeper of the dream. Yes. That is an awesome title for you.
Yes, and we, like you just said, we are so super excited to be in Carson City. We are Nissan Carson City at Chris Russell Leadership. We live by the theme SWEET, which stands for Serve with Excellence Every Time. And we are excited to be here. Personally, for me, I have not lived in Northern Nevada till just recently.
Where did you come from?
I came from Utah.
I
was in Utah, raised four children. So me and my wife are empty nesters. Unfortunately, had to lose three dogs and one cat along the way. However, we're so excited to be here. It's been nothing but a warm welcoming. Being a gentleman who was born in Oklahoma, I got to tell you, the folks at Carson City are salt of the earth folks.
Yeah.
And we are super excited to be in the community.
Yeah.
And I want to high five anybody that comes by today and donates a turkey.
I love it. We are well on our way to 1,000 turkeys. We've got about 550 that we're still looking to go. But KKFT and Evans Broadcast and all of our sister stations are going to be out here until 6 o'clock tonight collecting those turkeys. And you're going to have a smile on your face. This is
Absolutely.
The first big event.
Yes.
I'm hearing from Jim at Fish to really, you know, kind of christen Nissan of Carson City.
Yes, it is. And as much sleep as I've probably lost, worrying and thinking about all we need to do to make this the perfect little place here in Carson City, we actually opened on November the 7th. So we just opened, and that was a really, really soft opening, other than maybe a "We're Open" sign out front. We've had a chance to tighten up a few things the last couple of days, but we've already sold almost 10 new or pre-owned vehicles, because we offer new Nissans, but we have all the flavors of pre-owned trucks, SUVs, cars, older, newer.
But it's not just selling the new and pre-owned vehicles. It's also making sure that those previous Nissan owners here have a place for service as well.
Absolutely. That is 100% correct. And our service and parts department is open for business.
Well,
and
so thank you for the comfy chairs out here to wait in and for the free Wi-Fi.
Yes, and a cup of coffee. I believe we still have some sodas over there in the refrigerator as well. But we would just love anybody and everybody to come. If anything, just come say hi. Get a feel for who we are and what we do here. We're not going to pressure anybody into doing anything they don't want to do. We promise. We're the dealer you can trust, and we serve with excellence every time. So I would love to meet anybody and everybody.
Well, I tell you, the one thing I love is I've been sitting here, and every time somebody pulls up, I don't see salesmen bum rushing them.
That's a very good observation, and that's music to my ears.
Here's a guy to high five, because I know they just dropped off all kinds of goodies
thank
there.
You so, much.
So. Vin, thank you so much for having us out here and allowing me to do my show live. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the service that you're doing for the community now as well.
My pleasure. Thank you very
much. Thank you. It's the Monica J Show as we do it live today for the High Five Turkey Drive to benefit Fish in Carson City right here on Main Street. So I'd love to see you today. I'm going to be doing my show until noon. I'll stick around for a few minutes. Still got lots of prizes that I'm giving away. I got Trump hats and Trump bumper stickers and, well, you know, all kinds of good stuff. With 99.1 FM Talk, here's Fox. KFT 99.1 FM Talk. It's the Monica J Show, also being heard on 92.3. And, Lee, can you please take me out of queue? We are doing the show live today, also being heard on 92.3 FM Talk for Smith and Mason Valley. Yes, it's KSVL. All right, show live today, Nissan of Carson City. Just opened up on November 7th. This is the first major event, and it is so wonderful to see so many people from the community, Vance and Vicky, all the way from Reno, all the way from what? North Valley's coming down to share the holiday spirit and bringing us some food here. Whatever you'd like to drop off for Fish, friends and service helping. If you didn't hear Jim, the executive director of Fish, with me earlier in the day, I wish you would go back and listen to the podcast, because the amount of money that he saves Carson City and the outlying cities, outlying towns, by just being in existence with Fish, a nonprofit, it's in the millions, millions and millions of dollars. And the only way that they survive is by your donations. These are the type of organizations that I support, that I love supporting, because it's not all that government red tape. It's not all of that, you know, you have to follow these rules. They help people in the community by giving them a hand up. They don't do the handout thing. Now, you can come and you can use the services, but they're trying to get you to better yourself, better your life by not having to have handouts all the time. So that's why I support Fish, because of all of that they do in the community without the government's interference. So speaking of government interference, if you were listening to me yesterday, you might have heard the fact that I am so excited right now. Here I was going into a thought, but as we talk about community, Maureen and Mike Howdekeet just walked in, and oh my gosh, it is so wonderful to see you. Mike, look at you. Boy, you hear turkeys and you just come out.
Gobble, gobble, gobble. Well, I'm Monica.
Talk about being big in the community. Why do you guys support fish? I mean, you are just incredible for the Carson City community, and you just bought me 10 turkeys.
Oh, they're $10 now? When we started in 98, they were like $5
Well, Mike, you know better than I do that nothing ever goes down. The prices always go up.
Ah, yep, that's true. That's true. Well, you know, Carson City has been good to us. And until we finally closed up.
Mike's Pharmacy, for those who don't
pharmacy,
know.
Mike's Pharmacy, yes. The people... remember here in Carson City, you know, there's no place I can go without Laureen or even Monique.
Yes.
Where we are being recognized. And, you know, they miss us. We miss them. I don't miss the business. But finally, we retired. And that's what we do.
But
we would like to help.
You know, that's one of the problems, though, that's going on in this country, Mike, is, you know, have a seat for just a second, because I want to ask you about that. As we talk about the issues as we go into 2020, one of them is Big Pharma and the lobbyists that they have, the regulations that people have to follow, such as yourself when you owned a pharmacy. And Big Pharma is literally pushing people out of the business.
It's not only Big Pharma. It's just the whole whole system that which was created by our illustrious last president. And there are so many more levels which were put into the insurance system to make it so that insurances will pay the least amount, will reimburse us really tough, and they make a lot of profit. Of course, the big pharma, the prices are really high, you know, and fortunately, I have the possibility to compare between the United States and over in Europe. And
that's what people usually go back to is, you know, look at Canada's drug costs and the drugs coming out of India. You know, they make them as the generics, and they back research them to figure out the components of the medications and just produce them themselves. I mean, are Americans being taken advantage of?
That's a very hard question to answer. You know, we need the medication. Mm-hmm. We need good medications. We want to have medications which are proven to work, that have been tested by the FDA, by all the labs, and make sure that what we buy is what we get. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, in Europe or in Canada and everywhere else, they get the drugs from foreign countries, and we do not know what's really in there. You know, you can buy a generic online or from Canada. In Canada, they, by law, they cannot send drugs directly to us. They will send the prescription out there in the world, and the drugs will then be shipped from foreign countries to the recipients here in the U.S. But the medication that they get, there is no guarantee that they work. Mm-hmm. You know, we have, fortunately, we have systems here in the United States, and of course that costs money. They take a brand name after the patent is over. The generic companies will come up, and then the FDA will test, and reputable pharmacies, which are probably 99.9999% in the country, will use what they call AB-rated drugs. That means they are bioequivalent. They will do the same thing. They have the same active ingredient. And they maybe take a little bit longer to act, or, you know, but they are 99.999% bioequivalent.
That's the one thing that I've always heard as, and tell me if this is a myth or not, but that generics aren't the same. That it's like a lesser medication, or no?
No, not generics are good. But my comparison that I have done, and it's maybe, I love food. If you make a chocolate cake, mm-hmm. you know you're going to have 450 grams of chocolate in there. You're going to have 4 eggs. And those are the active ingredients which are going to make the chocolate cake. Mm-hmm. So when the drug comes off patent, now the generic manufacturers know what is in there, and so they will try to copy it. So they will get very, very close on the fillers and everything else, right. but the okay. active ingredient is actually in there. Mm-hmm. Way back when I started pharmacy, and that's a few years ago.
I won't tell on you if you won't tell on me.
Well, you know, I was young and impressionable at that time. But so you're going to have the active ingredient in there. However, it will maybe taste a little bit different because of the fillers and everything yeah. else. Maybe it's going to take a few 20 minutes longer to act. But by law, and if you have an AB rated generic, it should be bioequivalent. That means it will have the same amount of drug in there. It should act in this within a certain limit.
It's more of the fillers.
It's everything else, but yeah. the active ingredients are in there. You know, and people came to me and said, I'm allergic to all genetics.
Yeah.
We always laugh because they said genetics instead of
generics,
you know. And I said, you know, you got to try them out. Yeah. There are a few generics where pharmacists and even insurances have finally realized, you know what, there is a difference between the brand name and the generic. So whatever drug somebody has been started on, mm-hmm. you stay. So and they are especially the thyroids,
yeah.
the blood thinners, and everything. When you look at on the thyroids, like Synthroid, you
That's
have
what I take,
a zero yeah. 0.088. You got a 0.1. You can have a 0.125 milligram.
Yeah.
So we are talking minute amounts of drug will have a big effect.
Well, let me change the subject here for just a second. I've just got a minute or so left on my break, but China, are we doing the right thing by cracking down on China and the drugs that are being imported from there?
Again, what I said before, we don't know what's in those drugs.
Yeah.
You know, they make them drug. They put stuff in there that we have to find out here first. They have to go through the same regulatory process to analyze the drug to see what is in there. And nowadays,
well, I was thinking specifically the fentanyl and...
Well, yeah, fortunately, it came really after my time. That just appeared like a year or two ago with the fentanyl.
Yeah.
Fentanyl is one of the most dangerous drugs on the market. I think it's 0.01 milligram of fentanyl can kill somebody.
Wow.
So when if you go somewhere, that should be totally abolished.
Yeah.
There's one statistic that I want to let you know about, that when we as pharmacists renew our licenses, we have to do a law CE. And the Board of Pharmacy starts off that the United States, let's say, is the fourth largest country in the world,
mm-hmm.
approximately. The United States alone uses 99.9% of the world production of opiates.
That's just horrific.
This is only in the United States.
Yeah.
You know, in all the other countries, to get any type of opiates, it's almost impossible because it's so regulated. And I'm going to put my 2 cents in there, is that it is not the McKessons, it's not the Cardinals, it's not the wholesalers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was... It's advertisement.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton, there was a law which really prohibited advertising of medication, mm-hmm. prescription medication. He revoked it. So now everybody knows what the blue pill is, the mm-hmm. purple pill. And all the the patients go to their physician and say, I want the purple pill.
Yeah.
Oprah said, the purple pill will help me.
Yeah.
Everybody, you know, I'm just naming a few things, that the influence on the patients comes from the media.
Yeah.
And then,
well, that's
the
all you see nowadays is advertising for lawsuits, advertising for drugs, and advertising for food.
1-800 bad drug.
Yeah.
That's it, you know.
Yeah.
When you see all the drugs which are being attacked, they always say the few, they show the few who had problems. Any time when you take a drug into your body will react differently.
Yeah.
And, but.
But we prefer to get our happy drugs through Turkey.
The solid melatonin is the best part, you know. So
I was just
reminiscing with Loreen.
Yeah.
You know, the first turkey drop was in 1998.
Yeah.
In Carson City. Loreen and I, we started it here in Carson City. Yeah. And you and Ross, at that time, you were part of
it. But that was a long time ago in another place. And now Evans Broadcast, we've got the high five.
You know what? And I'm listening to you guys. You know, I have really switched because I love to listen to you. There's a certain person over there that I don't care much for, but I plead the Fifth Amendment again on advice of my lawyer.
All right. Hey, stick around because we're going to wrap up the show. The Monica J. Show on 99.1 FM Talk from our High Five Turkey Drive live today at Nissan of Carson City. I hope I see you down here before I go. Drop something off and I got a nice prize for you along with Dan the Man, my producer. We'll be back after this.
The talk starts here. Get the conversation going. Call now.
Hello?
99.1 KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
It's the Monica J. Show, live and local FM talk for all of Northern Nevada. It's Reno, Washoe County, it's Douglas, it's Churchill, it's Story, and boy, are we going to have more stories on Story County because of the caller that we received earlier about people that are just literally squatting up in the Virginia Highlands. We're going to dive into that and see if neighbors know who their neighbors are. But I'm ready to wrap up my show here at Nissan of Carson City, 2750 South Carson Street. The show goes on, though. It's the High Five Turkey Drive to benefit Fish, Friends and Service Helping. Once again, I go back to know the charities that you're giving to. And Fish doesn't receive government funds. And they choose to be that way because when the government gets involved, you know better than I do, they get too involved. And we need people ready to make decisions, ready to help the people that come in because you know what? Everybody has a different story. Everybody is down on their luck for a different reason. Maybe a job loss. Maybe a loss in the family has devastated them. Maybe, you know, the maybes go on and on and on. But what I want to urge is for you to look at your life and be grateful and just whisper a thank you to yourself and go with the saying that my grandmother always pointed out to me, there by the grace of God go I. So if you are doing well, please, whatever you can do, share a turkey this holiday season, share, you know, go get a case of stuffing at Sam's Club and share with your family and friends or a case of cranberry sauce. You know, people are hurting and you might not pick up on it. But this is what the holidays are all about. We remember why we celebrate the seasons. Do not give in to the liberals and the left who are trying to politicize it and try to make you feel bad about traveling, using gas during the holidays when, you know, you should be staying home or something like that. Don't let them do that to you. Travel, see your friends, see your family, enjoy a meal together over the thousands of miles. You don't have to Skype that holiday dinner. You can actually go out and travel. and remember why we do this. So Friends and Service Helping, we're down here until 6 o'clock tonight. My good friend who is wandering around, who is also with Evans Broadcast Company, is going to be taking it from here, and that is Mr. Tanner on the Wolf.
How am I supposed to follow you? How am I supposed to do? This is like going on stage.
Well, usually I would say with a bag and a rag, but, you know.
Oh, like at the parades, I know. But we don't talk about that in polite company. That's what happens,
right. So have a wonderful day, everybody. Join me tomorrow as we're going to get into everything that we talk about even more. I want to thank Paul White and Jenny Breckus for joining me today as we talked about all kinds of issues for the city of Reno. And I want to thank everybody who called, but even more so, everybody that came in and donated the Howdy Keats, $100 right here. I hope they didn't want any change because I already let it go. Have a great day, everybody. With